ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 31। तदा दुन्दुवयो नेदुर् मृदंग प्रणवादयः गंधर्व मुख्या प्रजगुः पेतु कुसुम वृत्सयः तदा दुन्दुवयो नेदुर् मृदंगपणवादयः गन्धर्वमुख्यप्रजगुः पेतुकुसुमवृच्छयः तदा दुन्दुवयो नेदुर् मृदंगपणवादयः गन्धर्वमुख्यप्रजगुः पेतु कुसुमवृच्छयः। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। तदा एट दैट टाइम दुन्दुवयो केटल ड्रम्स नेदुः रिजाउंडेड मृदंग ड्रम्स प्रणव स्मॉल ड्रम्स आदयः एटसेट्रा गंधर्व मुख्याः द चीफ रेसिडेंट्स ऑफ गंधर्व लोक प्रजगुः सैंग पेतुः सावर्ड कुसुम फ्लावर्स वृष्टयः लाइक रेन्स। ट्रांसलेशन। एट दैट टाइम ड्रम्स एंड केटल ड्रम्स रिजाउंडेड फ्रॉम द स्काई द चीफ ऑफ द गंधर्वास बिगैन टू सिंग एंड अदर डेमीगॉड्स सावर्ड फ्लावर्स लाइक टॉरेंट्स ऑफ रेन अपॉन ध्रुव महाराज। टेक्स्ट 32। सच स्वर्लोकम आरोक्षन सुनीतिन जननीम ध्रुवः अन्वस्मरद अगम हीत्वा दीनम यास्य त्रिविष्टपम्। ट्रांसलेशन। ध्रुव वाज सीटेड इन द ट्रांसेंडेंटल एयरप्लेन विच वाज जस्ट अबाउट टू स्टार्ट व्हेन ही रिमेंबर्ड हिज पुअर मदर सुनीति ही थॉट टू हिमसेल्फ हाउ शैल आई गो अलोन टू द वैकुंठ प्लैनेट एंड लीव बिहाइंड माय पुअर मदर। Purport. Dhruva had a feeling of obligation to his mother, Suniti. It was Suniti who had given him the clue which had now enabled him to be personally carried to the Vaikuntha planet by the associates of Lord Vishnu. He now remembered her and wanted to take her with him. Actually, Dhruva Maharaj's mother, Suniti, was his Patha Pradarshaka Guru. Patha Pradarshaka Guru means the Guru or the spiritual master who shows the way. Such a guru is sometimes called Siksha Guru. Although Narad Muni was his Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, Suniti, his mother, was the first who gave him instruction on how to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the duty of the Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru to instruct the disciple in the right way, and it depends on the disciple to execute the process. According to Shastric injunctions, there is no difference between Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru, and generally Shiksha Guru later on becomes the Diksha Guru. Suniti, however, being a woman and specifically his mother, could not become Dhruva Maharaj's Diksha Guru. Still, he was not less obliged to Suniti. There was no question of carrying Narad Muni to Vaikuntha Loka, but Dhruva Maharaj thought of his mother. Whatever plan the Supreme Personality of Godhead contemplates immediately fructifies. Similarly, a devotee who is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord can also fulfill his wishes by the grace of the Lord. The Lord fulfills his wishes independently, but a devotee fulfills his wishes simply by being dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj thought of his poor mother, he was assured by the associates of Vishnu that Suniti was also going to Vaikuntha Loka in other plane. Dhruva Maharaj had thought that he was going alone to Vaikuntha Loka, leaving behind his mother, which was not very auspicious because people would criticize him for going alone to Vaikuntha Loka and not carrying with him Suniti, who had given him so much. But Dhruva also considered that he was not personally the Supreme. Therefore, if Krishna fulfilled his desires, only then would it be possible. Krishna would immediately understand his mind, and he told Dhruva that his mother was also going with him. This incident proves that a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj can fulfill all his desires by the grace of the Lord. He becomes exactly like the Lord, and thus whenever he thinks of anything, his wish is immediately fulfilled. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. To welcome all of us to the morning Bhagavatam class. Here Prabhupada is mentioning about two prominent themes in two different paragraphs. So the first paragraph he mentions about Dhruva had a feeling of obligation to his mother Suniti. So feeling of obligation basically means, he was grateful and
I was hearing one lecture of Maharaj where and collected few of things and we can discuss about that. So Prabhupada here mentions about Patha Pradarshaka Guru. So Suniti being Patha Pradarshaka Guru initiated the path where Dhruva could start his journey on his spiritual path. And on the way, he meets Narad Muni. So Krishna was very pleased with his determination. So as we know that by the mercy of Krishna, we get Guru. And by mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. So first Siksha Guru was his mother. And she directed him towards the spiritual path. And when he was badly hurt by the stepmother Suruchi, and he goes to Suniti. Suniti mentions one very prominent thing, that never carry grudge against the people who have hurt you. So, and you have to see situations in a way where you can come or grow out of the situation. This is a difficult situation, and if you keep grudge, then it will not be good for you. You will only feel pain. You will only feel pained in the long run. So that is also a very very good instruction by Mother Suniti. And here Prabhupada mentions about Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, and in one statement says that there is no question of carrying Narad Muni to Vaikuntha Loka, because Narad Muni is already a spaceman and he keeps traveling to all over the places. So, and also elsewhere I studied that if by the qualification of a disciple, if the disciple is qualified and then he elevates to such a level that he can also bring the spiritual master to the spiritual world. So, which is also kind of seems contradictory, but here Dhruva Maharaj by his own endeavor, by his own determined study practice, he is bringing Suniti to the spiritual world, and he is grateful for the act of his mother. So gratitude is obvious for a pure devotee. He doesn't work, or he doesn't plan to be grateful. Gratitude is something that is very spontaneous for a pure devotee. And Dhruva here was thinking that how can I go to the spiritual world without taking her, and she has done so much for me, and because of her only I am as of in this state, because of her only. So he was extremely grateful. And after boarding the airplane, he is thinking, how can I leave without my mother? And in the second paragraph, Prabhupada mentions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever plan the Supreme Personality of Godhead contemplates, it immediately fructifies. And same goes with a pure devotee also. So when a pure devotee thinks of something, then it gets fulfilled exactly the way Supreme Personality of Godhead would think, and it get fulfilled. So, like, you know, Parasya Saktir Vividayava Suyate, right? So, whatever Krishna thinks that I, you know, even before he assumes, or even before he contemplates how it could happen, the thing has already happened. So that's the potency of Krishna. And one who is completely dependent on Krishna, and he can achieve this kind of state where whatever the devotee aspires, it immediately gets fulfilled. Seems to be a nice proposal, and then, you know, could be thought of on a different scale also, that okay, let me conquer Krishna and then every desire of mine can be fulfilled. But Krishna is he's very smart and he's very clever. He would not let anyone exploit him. Rather, he would purify one's desires and then, like the way he did here with Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was aspiring to have a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, that means bigger than Brahma. So why did he aspire for that? He could not climb onto the throne of his father, I mean lap of his father, which he was sitting on the throne. So he was thinking, how can someone beat my father, reject me to climb onto his lap or to his throne? So I want to sit in a place where nobody can reject me. So it's basically out of ego and basically out of arrogance. But the path he chose was strong, and the path he chose was the right path, and then he did it very diligently and strongly and determining. So with that determination appears Narad Muni, and then he does several tests on him, and then once he qualifies, then he says, okay, you go to Madhuvan and then start practicing these austerities and start practicing this yoga process. And then eventually when he sees the Lord, then he realizes that I was looking for broken pieces of glass, and when I have got a rarest diamond in my front. So his aspiration of getting something which he would think as the most precious, the kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, has turned into lifeless, valueless, seemingly worthless broken pieces of glass. And what he got in turn is the most valuable jewel that anyone could aspire for. So Maharaj mentions about, I just collected a few quotes about Maharaj says about gratitude. All the virtues have their origin in gratitude. Actually, each statement could be spoken volumes of, and then each statement for us to realize would may take lifetimes. That's how deep these statements are, and then how much realized these statements are. All virtues have their origin in gratitude. So a person who is grateful, all virtues would eventually be seen in him. Actual gratitude is the symptom of humility. Actual gratitude is the symptom of humility. We have to again think. So if a person is humble, he can be grateful. If a person is not humble, he would find all reasons not to be grateful, or he would not find any reason to be grateful. Rather, he would find many reasons to justify his arrogance or his pride. So we have seen many situations of this type. In bhakti, we express our gratitude through seva, selfless service, and we say thank you, and we live by that thank you. So expression of gratitude is by saying thank you, or by expressing through seva. So bhakti, Prabhupada is translating as devotional service. So devotional service means active engagement in physical, mental and intellectual level, and also to a great extent on the egoistic level. So when we say thank you, that means we are putting our ego down, we are saying you are better than me. And most of the times we want to justify our situation or our statement or our opinion or our whatever we express to be better than others. It basically means that I am better than you, and this is the disease of false ego. So whenever we say that I am better than you, it only means that I have bigger ego than you, or whatever I say has to be correct. So then gratitude is lost. So then humility is not there. So Here he says about another thing. Of all disgraceful behavior, there is nothing worse than ingratitude. So the worst thing one can do is not to be grateful. It's like when somebody has done something to us and then we are not grateful for that person, or not see anything good that he has done for us. So here Suniti seemingly has just mentioned one thing, that okay, you go to forest and search for Krishna, search for Vishnu. She could have told, okay, you sit here and then practice, you know. We all do that. Jatana Babu said, Grihe thake banai thako sadahari bole thako. So you can practice your Krishna consciousness at home also. But she said, usually people go to forest to find God. So then Dhruva just walks out. And after Dhruva walks out of the palace, walks out of the kingdom, he enters deep into the forest. Then Uttanapada comes into his senses and then feels that, what I have done. So when he did not acknowledge the Suruchi's disgraceful behavior by at least saying few words to Dhruva, solacing words to Dhruva, so that time also he was not grateful. And after Dhruva leaves deep into the forest, then he is worried about Dhruva and he's thinking that, how will I stay without my son, and how will he be staying? He might be eaten by some animals. He might be attacked by. He might be killed also. So, loving service is the means to show our gratitude. So this is again an expression of our gratitude, that whatever service we get, we execute that service with love and with gratitude. And if we are not grateful, then the involvement in that service will not be there. If we are not grateful, then we will not get empowerment and the ideas required for that service also. We'll just do it kind of mechanically. Gratitude is to honor, recognize and appreciate everyone and everything for a higher purpose. So it's to honor, to recognize, appreciate everyone and everything. So this becomes very difficult to digest, everyone and everything. Because when you see a person whom we think, mera inse jamta nahi hai, you know, we say sometimes, na, mera jamta nahi hai. So jamta nahi hai basically because my ego doesn't accept him, or I don't accept his opinions, or I don't accept his ideas, or I don't accept him in totality. So this is basically the ego game, and till we try to work on our own ego and then try to pull it down, it is difficult to see or recognize or honor or appreciate everyone and everything for a higher purpose. So anything that comes into our life, if we recognize that as tailor-made situation brought for me specifically by Krishna for my purification and for my upliftment, unless we see that hand of Krishna in everything and everyone, it is difficult for us to be grateful. And we will find no reason to continue. So it becomes very easy for a grateful person to be with anyone or to gel with anyone. So because he is grateful even to a stranger, to say that way also, that one puts his own ego below others, or one tries to humble himself in front of others. So another statement he says, that any real civilization is based on the principles of respect and gratitude. Any Real civilization is based on the principles of respect and gratitude. Respect will not be there if we are not humble. Respect will not be there if we are not grateful. And on the basis of that respect and gratitude, there is morality, charity, and compassion. Now, these are loaded words. You know, on the basis of that respect and gratitude, there is morality. So morality is again, sometimes we feel that morality is to be expressed depending on time, place, circumstances. You know, we cannot be expressing morality in every situation. Charity means charity out of humility and charity out of arrogance. So charity can also be given like, okay, I am giving, I am sustaining, I am maintaining, I am doing this. So in that mood also, one will get benefit from that charity also, but then not to the extent that thinking that I have been given so much and then I can give something in charity. Now that charity could mean in terms of wealth, in terms of knowledge, in terms of giving kind words also. And compassion. Now how gratitude is related to compassion, I was thinking. You know, how gratitude could be related to compassion. So, if I am grateful to what I have received, I am grateful that I have received and then I am benefited out of this, and then I am ready to hand over that same thing to one and all. So, that could also be meaning compassion. And sometimes familiarity leads to lack of gratitude. So we take it things for granted, and when we assume people, okay, ye to mera friend hai, ye kuch bura nahi manega if I tell like this. So we tend to make statements, and then at certain point somebody feels bad, and then or we even though the other person does not expect that we to be grateful, even if we express our gratitude, his gratitude will be more. So again, our expression of gratitude would lead to good qualities in others also. That means one can bring out good qualities in others by expressing gratitude or by being grateful. Gratitude does not mean simply saying thank you. Real gratitude means reciprocation, right? So I can say thank you, okay, somebody gave me something and then I can say thank you. But then if I don't reciprocate, that means I am blocking the path. So if I reciprocate, then as it happens with Krishna. So Krishna is grateful to his devotees. So whatever devotees have done to Krishna, Krishna is grateful. Krishna wants to give whatever in his possession to all the devotees. And in turn, devotees want to serve more to Krishna, being more grateful. And the exchange never stops. So when one is grateful, it creates gratitude in others, and that gratitude leads to expression of that gratitude in terms of service or reciprocation, and then the exchange keeps on increasing and strengthening one's relationship with other. If we are grateful to someone, we will reciprocate, even if it means great sacrifice. So it is difficult to maintain gratitude even at the face of difficulty. When some difficult situation comes in our life, it is very difficult to be grateful, especially to Krishna or so to say our karmic situation. So our situation has come because of certain karmic situation, and because of that karmic situation we are supposed to grow from that situation. And Krishna expects that we grow from that situation. And if we complain and if we keep bringing our ego in front and then not rectify ourselves and not want to grow from that situation, then that situation will keep coming forward time and again till the time we rectify. And it may last for lifetimes, maybe more, till the time we rectify, because we have come to devotional service. So because we have come to devotional service, Krishna will not leave a speck of chance to rectify us. And Krishna will make sure that we become humble, we become grateful. And it's not that Krishna just wants to make us humble, Krishna wants to make us grateful. Krishna wants to purify of us, purify our all our inebrieties, and He will keep on sending things from time, place, circumstances, through people, through other situations. And till the time we don't understand that it has been tailor-made for me and then I have to grow out of this situation, till the time we will be, you know, in that same situation stuck. So, gratitude is to see beyond immediate circumstances that come upon us, but actually see the essence of that situation. So, when some situation comes, we immediately see the circumstance to be detrimental, to be curse, to be as a curse, to be as a difficult situation created for me by someone or by this situation. And we don't see the actual essence behind it. So when we see only the immediate essence that, you know, this person is confronting me or this situation has confronted me, and then I'm not responsible for this, I don't want to handle this, then we are just handling situation on a superficial level. That means we don't want to grow from that situation or learn from that situation. So today morning, it happened like, you know, I went to hot water and then somebody had kept some water left. And then I didn't know there was some water, the vessel was still hot. I put my water and then heat it and then put it in my bottle and then I took a sip. It was salty. So I could think that, you know, who has done this? You know, itna akal nahi hai kya phenkne ke liye, or somebody has to be used. Or I could think, you know, okay, this situation has been tailor-made for me and then I could learn from this. Okay, what I can learn from this? I will not make this mistake. At least I will not make this mistake, or at least I will not do this. So we can grow from any situation by deriving lessons or by searching for that essence in that particular thing, rather than blaming or condemning or complaining or harping on that situation time and again and then keep blaming, you know, why this is happening to me only, why people are doing like this. And people have to grow. So whether I have to grow or not, it depends on me. So all the opportunities to learn something, to become better and to grow from that situation. So ultimately, in every situation, it is an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. So every opportunity we should find, I mean, we should see in terms of how can I take shelter of Krishna in this situation. So sometimes situations are very good and we think, okay, things are going very nice, and we forget, okay, so far so things are going good. But when things become worse, then we think, you know, why Krishna is doing this to me, or why devotees are doing this to me, or why this is happening to me. So to remember Krishna in every situation, good and bad, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, and all situations, to think of Krishna actually means that we are grateful. Actually means that we, so that the means of having substance in that person. So taking shelter that we find in life is inconceivable treasures at every moment. So taking shelter of Krishna means to find inconceivable treasures in every moment. So a person who kind of seeks essence in every situation would try to find that treasure at every moment. To seek the essence is to look for the hand of Krishna in every situation. So that means in every situation, if we want to seek the essence, I want to seek the essence, that means I have to find the hand of Krishna. So That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. So if I see the hand of Krishna in every situation, or if I somehow see the hand of Krishna in every situation, I am Krishna conscious. So better said, than done, because whenever there is a provoking situation comes, the first thing happens is we forget Krishna, and other things follow. Our nature follows. We become ungrateful, we become complaining, we become and all that. So again, so here Maharaj was mentioning about the story of gratitude. So Dhruva Maharaj's story. So Dhruva Maharaj, after perfecting his life, he comes back to his kingdom, and he has no malice, he has no ill feeling even towards Suruchi or any of his people in the palace. So he takes the dust of Suruchi's feet, he takes the dust of Uttanapad, and Suniti is standing somewhere behind, and she is having tears in her eyes. And then she is also grateful that my son took my words so seriously that he could actually did what it is impossible for great sages to do. He has met the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person. So the mother is grateful, the son is grateful, and they are seeing the hand of Krishna in every situation. So no matter what happens, pain. So when Dhruva got pained, so for a mother it becomes more painful to see the pain of the son. So when Dhruva got harassment or chastisement from Suniti, from Suruchi, when he comes to Suniti, then Suniti is telling that your stepmother is not at fault. So see this as orchestrated by Krishna. See this as orchestrated by our whatever karma we have done that has come back to us. And we have to grow from this situation. So what your stepmother has said is true, that you should take shelter of Krishna and come out of this situation. So what Suruji said, that you pray to Narayan, you take birth from my womb, and then only you can sit on the throne, sit on the lap of your father. So what Suruji said is correct in terms of taking shelter of Krishna, but he did that, he took shelter of Krishna. But then before taking birth from Suruji's womb, he could achieve that position. Now this is something that is given to Dhruva Maharaj out of the box. Like, you don't have to take birth from Suruchi's womb to sit on the lap of your father or the throne. I can give it right away. So Krishna could cut short the whole thing depending on the intensity of our execution of devotional service. So Krishna is within our hearts. He knows our every pleasure and every pain. He hears every word, he sees our every action, and he knows our every thought, and most importantly, he knows our intention more than anyone else. So because he knows our intention, it is our duty to keep on revising our intention or keep on purifying our intentions to make it more conducive to our practice of devotional service. If our intention is to do the service or do whatever devotional practices we are doing just for the sake of doing without that intention, so then we are just doing the activity. So there is no intention, there is no involvement. So if we do that, we get the benefit in a very small portion. But same thing, if we do with the higher intensity, like the Brahmana who was cooking in his mind, and he put his hand in the kheer in mind, and his finger got burnt. So to the extent the intention of our activity is strong, to that extent we will experience Krishna in our life. And it is to that extent that we can purify our intentions. So Krishna is, you know, Ishvara Sarvabhutana Mridate Sardunatishra. Krishna is residing in our hearts. He knows us in and out. He knows us thoroughly. And we can cheat the whole world. We can make a show of ourselves in front of everyone, but not in front of Krishna. We cannot make a show of anything in front of Krishna. Krishna knows in and out. And if we want to cheat Krishna, he can be the royal cheater in our life. And we had it. And we can have the last thing that is we can do, we can cheat Krishna. And Krishna is the best well-wishing friend, sitting right beside us, waiting for us to turn to him. So if we want to turn to him at every situation, we have to seek the essence, we have to see the hand of Krishna in every situation in our life. So there is no question of Narad Muni taking Dhruva Maharaj taking Narad Muni to Vaikuntha Loka, because Narad Muni is a Vaikuntha man. He is keeping on traveling to, you know, all the planets. So at the last moment, what Dhruva was thinking is to take Suniti back to Godhead with him. How can I go alone? How can I go without my mother? So this expression of gratitude comes again through his practice, and he got completely purified, and he is grateful. He is grateful to Nanda who has come to take him. He is grateful to Sunanda. He is grateful to all the people who have assembled there. He is grateful to their death personified. He is grateful to everyone there, not only Suniti. And then in the end he remembers that my mother also should go with me. And to fulfill that desire, so it is like a fraction of a second he thought, how can I go without my mother? And then he sees, and then, you know, the Vaikuntha associate shows Dhruva Maharaj that, see, your mother is also going to Vaikuntha. You know, so this is also something special, that Suniti could have been brought to Dhruva Maharaj, both of you go together. But there was a separate plane for Dhruva Maharaj and there was a separate plane for Suniti. So which means we have to fly our own plane, which also means that we have to take our own life, you know, responsibility of our own life, and then earn that Vaikuntha plane, right? So a happy person is he who is pleased with others doing better than himself. Now this is very difficult to digest. How can I be happy by seeing somebody else doing better than me? And again, it's a game of ego. So if I have to see good in others, if I can appreciate somebody doing better than me, that means I have to put my ego down. I have to be humble. So if someone is not doing good, I should help him raise. But in material world, it happens differently. If somebody is doing bad, we criticize him, we complain him, we look down upon him, and then we don't try to raise him. But sorry. But we should be helping others to raise him. So Narad Muni, when he saw Dhruva Maharaj want to take revenge, but he is determined. So he saw one good thing. Okay, this person is determined to find Narayan. Now no matter what intention he has come for, so Krishna knows our intentions, but through the practice he purifies our intentions also. So Dhruva Maharaj started with the intention of having a highest ego expression thing, to have a kingdom greater than his great grandfather. with that aspiration he starts his journey, but then he ends in utter gratefulness, and then he ends in a situation where he feels himself that what I was asking for, I mean, I was asking for broken pieces, I was asking for, you know, literally shit, I was asking for something that was not worth, right? So what I was asking for. So we are also aspiring for things of this world, which are again kind of broken piece of glasses. And those broken piece of glasses could be, you know, some little honor, some little good words of some appreciation, you know, I am doing so much, nobody is acknowledging my works, nobody is saying thank you, nobody is saying, nobody is grateful to me. So all these things are basically ego game, that, you know, somebody has to express gratefulness to me. I should be grateful that I am God, I have got that opportunity to serve. So Narad Muni did not mention Dhruva to meditate on a punishing God. Narad Muni mentioned to meditate on a beautiful form of Lord, all loving personality of Godhead. He is not a chastising, he is not a God having chastising rod in his hand. When you do wrong, he is ready to chastise you. When you do wrong, he is seeing everything and then he is ready to punish you at every moment. So he encouraged Dhruva. So chastisement also a part of love on the part of the parents for a child, because in that chastisement also they want the growth of the child. Because if they don't chastise, then who else will do? And if they don't chastise, then the child will come and chastise later to the parents that you didn't chastise me at the right time to rectify me. So, you know, I have landed up in this situation because you didn't correct me at the right time when the time was there. So, so you meditate on the beauty and the kindness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting these names. He gave him the mantra. You know, chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So when Dhruva Maharaj saw the beautiful forms, beautiful form of the Lord, first he saw in his heart, and then he saw, and then that form vanished, and then he, out of eagerness, opened his eyes, and then he saw the form in front of his eyes. So when he saw that beautiful form of the Lord in front of his eyes, you know, by this time the Lord has appeared multiple times in Bhagavatam. So when I used to read Bhagavatam, so when Lord appears first, you know, in Bhagavatam, when he appears, Krishna in front of Pandavas, wow, Lord has appeared. Then the Lord appears in front of Brahma, shakes his hands. So whenever you see Lord has appeared, so it comes like, wow, Lord has appeared. So that means it is possible. It is not something like, you know, it may be far-fetched, but then it is not impossible. So there is a possibility that every person, every devotee can see the Lord face to face and then experience his beauty and pleasure, beauty and other aspects of his form. So he was contemplating that, I was contemplating on the tiny beautiful things apparently of this world, which was worthless, but I am seeing the beauty personified, or everything that one could aspire for. So that means when Dhruva saw all his desires fulfilled, he had absolutely no more aspiration for anything else of this world. So he just wanted, I mean, in his prayers he expresses that, you know, I wanted the association of your devotees. I wanted to serve Narad Muni. I wanted to serve my spiritual master. So he had no other aspiration other than devotional service. So all his aspirations and intentions were got purified, and then now he is, you know, a perfect pure devotee aspiring only for pure devotional service. So one time one devotee was saying, when sun was setting, you know, how beautiful is the sunset. So Prabhupada mentioned, see, you know, you see the art is so beautiful. how much beautiful maybe the artist is. So Prabhupada sees the hand of Krishna everywhere. So it is possible for a person who is grateful to see the hand of Krishna in every situation, in every walk of life. So Krishna says, I am the ability in man and woman, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So he is present everywhere. So it is for us to choose to see what, to see where, to see how Krishna is present in every situation, in every walk of life. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to stop there, and if anyone has any questions. हरे कृष्ण ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय